And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places. And people were coming to him from every quarter. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together, so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately, Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Let me pray, and then Phil's going to come up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us through your word. Father, may you help us understand what it is you have to say to us today, and to help us to know Jesus more and more. So, Lord, we ask that you will reveal him to us in Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Great. Thanks, Glenn. Great to see a couple of new faces among us as well. You're really welcome. We are going to start, as we sometimes do, with the work on you guys. So just turn in on your tables. I put a question on your sheets there to kick us off. What would your colleagues say is the most fundamental / deepest problem that we have? What would your colleagues say is the most fundamental, deepest problem that we have? A couple of minutes round tables and then we'll come back. So the issue in front of us today is, well, the issue we're being confronted with is, what is the greatest human problem, and therefore what is our greatest need? I guess, I don't know what you're discussing around tables, I guess people give different answers. What did people come up with? Anything you want to shout out?
Money.
Money.
Divisions between people.
Divisions between people. Yeah.
Power.
Yeah, people seeking power at the expense of everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Lack of education.
Lack of education.
Tension in the world. World tension.
Yeah, world tension. Mm. Yeah, yeah. Bad leaders, climate change, some selfish people spoiling it for the rest of us. Something at work, perhaps, somebody at work. Mm. Our bodies giving up.
Yeah.
Although I look around and I see, you know, people seeming to be in pristine condition, but I think we all know what that's like. Well, we've got two miracles here: the healing of a leper and the healing of a paralyzed man. Both of them are showing us something about Jesus and what he's come to do that is far greater and of far greater consequence than simply the healing of a terminal skin disease or a body that doesn't work. They are showing us that Jesus is the one who has all the authority of God to bring us back into God's presence forever as forgiven children. Now, I want us to see this and to see it in its context. It's really important that we understand the Bible in its context. And what we've been trying to do over the last few weeks is just understand what Mark, the gospel writer, the eyewitness of Jesus, is showing us in this first part of Mark. And you'll see from 1 verse 16 all the way to 2 verse 12, he has been putting on display the authority of Jesus, the authority of the King. He makes the claim at the very beginning of the gospel that Jesus is the long-promised everlasting King who would rule over and bring God's everlasting kingdom. And so no surprise that the first thing he shows us in his gospel account is the breathtaking authority of the King to bring the kingdom. We've seen, haven't we, that Jesus calls his people to follow him irresistibly. His authority to call people into the kingdom, the first thing we saw. We've seen his authority to banish Satan with a word, that old oppressor of humanity, the old enemy, to banish him, Satan and his forces, with a word. We've seen Jesus' authority last week to lift off suffering. This whole town comes to him, heals every disease with a word. What authority! But now we come to the last section of this display of his authority. And we see how he can deal with the root problem, which is our broken relationship with God. That is, Jesus has authority to heal our souls as well as our bodies. That is what Mark is showing us. That is what Jesus is showing us through these two miracles. Jesus, therefore, can bring the kingdom of God in all its fullness if he can heal our bodies and our souls. So that's where we're going today. Two miracles side by side. Why? Because there are two implications to our sin problem. Sin, by the way, is what we've all done with God. That rejected God as our loving ruler, that's what we've all done. But there are two implications to our sin problem that we need to grasp to understand these two miracles. Firstly, sin has made us spiritually unclean. And that is massive in the Old Testament. Okay, if you read the Old Testament, anyone who's read the law of the first five books of the Bible will see that the uncleanness of sin is huge. And the book of Leviticus focuses on that. Sin has made us spiritually unclean, but secondly, sin has made us guilty. And therefore we face the judgment of God. Now, those are two slightly different things with different consequences. To be unclean means that God simply cannot have us anywhere near him. He is so fiercely pure and holy like the sun. We cannot be in his presence if we're unclean spiritually. And therefore we must be banished from him forever. That's the problem of uncleanness. The problem of guilt means that we must face a judgment day. We have wronged God. We must face a judgment day that is yet to come, but is terrible. You see, the twofold problem of sin. Without a saviour from sin, we and everyone around us is lost and destined to be in a broken relationship with God forever. But these two miracles tell us that Jesus can deal with both of those problems. In a nutshell, he can make us right with God forever. Jesus has the authority to bring us back into his presence as his forgiven children forever. Just look down with me at verse 40. A leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him
and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. This man comes with leprosy, comes to Jesus. He comes up to him. I wonder if you can picture it and imagine it. It really happens. A man with leprosy came up to Jesus, excluded from God's people and God's presence. If you had leprosy under the Old Testament law, you had to cry out, unclean, unclean, wherever you went. And the Pharisees, the rabbis had dictated that nobody should go more than 50 meters, anywhere within 50 meters of a leper. This leper comes up to Jesus and says, if you will, you can make me clean. Jesus says, I will be clean. And at that moment, the leprosy left him and the skin was completely healed up. I wonder if you can imagine that, what it would have looked like. What's going on here? Well, leprosy was God's visual aid so that we can understand what he sees when he looks on the human heart. So it's not that God finds deformed skin unclean or bacteria. That's not the point. But just as we might draw pictures for our children to explain difficult things, well, so God has drawn a picture for us. The leper, leprosy. He says, look on the skin of a leper and understand what I see when I look on the human heart. We are all lepers on the inside in the eyes of God. We are spiritually unclean. And can I say, I think we know this is true deep down, all of us. You know, even our consciences tell us we're unclean. If even our conscience tells us we're unclean, then what happens when we stand in the blazing presence of a holy God? But the point here is the good news of the gospel, that Jesus has come to make us clean. The person who comes to Jesus in faith, like this leper, can be spiritually washed, spiritually cleansed, and made clean forever by his authoritative touch. And therefore he can bring us back to God, into his presence, into the holy presence of God as we were always meant to be. Well, he can make us clean. He can deal with our filth, but he can also deal with our guilt. And that's the point of the second miracle. Verse 5, look what Jesus says. They bring this man, paralyzed man, to him. These four men carry it. The house he's in is packed with people. He's teaching. Mediterranean houses, if you've ever been there, they'll have the steps on the outside and usually a flat roof to enjoy the evening sun. And so presumably these guys took the paralyzed man up the outside steps onto the roof, dug a hole, and they lower him down. And Jesus says, verse 5, son, your sins are forgiven. And then verse 10, that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. This man, therefore, is at that point forgiven before God forever. No more guilt, nothing to pay on judgment day. And so we are filthy before God by nature, but Jesus has the authority to make us clean. We are guilty before God by nature, but Jesus has the authority to wash up, to wipe away the debt, to forgive us all of our sins, past, present and future, so that we can face judgment day uncondemned. And as if that was not enough, and that would be enough, would it not? But look at that word that he uses to address the paralyzed man on the mat. Did you see that in verse 5? Son. Very strange word that. Didn't have to use that word. Literally, child. It's an affectionate term that you might use to call your son. It is very deliberate because Jesus at this point declares him to be a child of God. Son. A precious child. Loved, cherished, forgiven. And so, what is the point of these two miracles? That Jesus, the Son of God, has all the authority of God to bring sinners back to God forever, back into his presence as forgiven children. And there is no better news than this, if we begin to think about the implications of that peace with God forever. I just want to make three observations as we pause on this truth. Firstly, who then is Jesus? And this is the question they begin to ask. Let's pause on this question in verse 6. Some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" It's a fair enough question to ask. He would need to be God to do this. And Jesus' answer is fascinating, isn't it? Immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'?" Now, what does Jesus mean here? He means, I think, that it's easier to say your sins are forgiven. Anyone can say that. And so he says, "I'm going to prove the invisible authority through the visible authority, so that you may know that I have the invisible authority. I say to this man, 'Get up.' And this man's wasted muscles are remade and reordered in a moment, as only the Creator himself could do." You see that in verse 10? "That you may know that I have authority on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, 'Get up.'" Proving his invisible authority through the visible miracle. In other words, Jesus says, "I am a much greater Messiah than you realize," to these Jewish leaders. Think about it for a second. The forgiveness of sins has been given to the Son. It is the prerogative of the Son of God. And that means, of course, that no one can be forgiven. If you want to be forgiven, you must come to the Son, to Jesus. Surely only God can forgive sins. That's their question, and it's a reasonable one. God is the offended party. Surely only God can forgive sins. Yes. And so, tantalizingly, who do you think Jesus is? Secondly, this is our deepest need. And to come back to the question that we had in the beginning, we all have this with kids, I think, don't we? Kids, if you have kids or no kids, which is probably all of us, we know that kids are somewhat short-sighted in what they think they need. But as parents, you can see that your 10-year-old son's greatest need is not to only eat chocolate and play computer games every waking moment of the day, which my son would definitely do. Why is that? Well, because we can see further. We have a greater perspective on reality. We know what's coming further down the line. And the reality is that spiritually we are just like the short-sighted child. We don't know what we need. And isn't it, what a bizarre thing that Jesus says to this paralyzed man in verse 5. Have you thought about how bizarre this is? Imagine it for a second. This paralyzed man has been lowered down on his mat. The whole room is bated breath in silence, expecting Jesus to do one thing. What does Jesus say? "Your sins are forgiven." as he's lying there on his mat.
Isn't it extraordinary?
Now, Jesus, I don't think, could have made the point more clearly, both to them then and to us today, that though every muscle in our body should stop working, our greatest need would still be to be forgiven. Why? Because Jesus can see the bigger picture. He can see that judgment day is coming, that God must judge, and that to fall under the judgment of God, unforgiven, forever, well, that doesn't bear thinking about. But look how gently he shows this man his greatest need. I love this, because actually Jesus doesn't say to him, your greatest need is to be forgiven. He says, son, your sins are forgiven. And so in one and the same sentence, he shows him his need and gives him what he needs. I guess it's like the doctor whose cancer patient runs up to him asking for painkillers to deal with the symptoms, right? Imagine that. Cancer patient runs up into the hospital, please give me paracetamol or something stronger. Anything stronger than that, and there definitely are stronger things. Please give me painkillers. And instead the doctor hands him the drugs to take away cancer forever. That's the picture. To have peace with God is our deepest need. It is also our greatest dream. You know, Jesus says, the prophet says in Isaiah, of his kingdom and of peace there will be no end. Well, Jesus is showing us peace from Satan, peace from suffering, and peace with God. And so this is why Jesus' kingdom will last forever. And this is why those who come into his kingdom will live forever. What is left to be dealt with? And so for the one who comes to Christ in faith, or has come, let the dreaming begin. Eternity beckons. And the last thing just to pause on, his deep desire, and we'll end here, because I think we need to see this, that we see here the character of Jesus and therefore the character of God. You see, we naturally, we just don't think he would want to have us or to heal us or to forgive us. But we need to see this. Just look at verse 41 again. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched the leper. You know, I take it, the reason Mark has put this in is because the disciples remember this vividly as they saw his hand stretching out. He didn't have to use his hand to heal the leper. Leprosy was contagious. And the breath, intake of breath as people watched as he stretched out his hand in compassion for the leper. Why? To show, not just the leper, but to show the world the compassion of God for sinners. He moves towards the sinner who comes to him in faith. God is not reluctant. Jesus will not cast you out, whatever you've done. He moves towards us. Yes, I will make you clean. I love that the paralyzed man doesn't even ask for forgiveness. But Jesus gives him not what he wants, but what he needs. Jesus, is it not true to say that Jesus is eager to forgive him? And then he heals him as well. The overflowing grace of Jesus. He doesn't just want to fix something about us, he wants to fix everything about us. And so therefore the sinner who comes to Christ in faith can be confident, yes, that he can make us right with God forever, and that he wants to. He is eager to. He loves you. And he almost doesn't wait for the words to be out of our mouth. Yes, I will. Just want to speak very briefly to three people as we close. Number one, to the Christian. And I know many of us would call ourselves Christians. Well, what's the message to us from this? You are clean, Jesus says. I've washed you. You're clean. Don't believe the lies. Today, you are clean. You're forgiven all of your sins, past, present and future. And you're a precious child of God forever. And you are loved. Jesus still feels the same about you today as he felt about you when you first came to him in faith. His heart is for you. Well, that's cause for joy, whatever's happening in life. And by the way, is he not worth leaving behind the priorities of this world, leaving behind our nets for this king and this kingdom? I just want to speak briefly to the Christian who perhaps has drifted for months, perhaps even years, into sin. You know that's the case. You know you've wandered away from him. You think perhaps he would never have you back after what you've done. Come back to him. He will not turn you away. And if you're not a Christian, well, no one is too far gone. That's the point of the leper. Come and find the touch of Christ to make you clean forever. Come to him in faith. Receive the forgiveness of Christ. Come to him in faith and become a child of God forever. Let's pray. As we close. Father, we thank you so much for the good news of the gospel, that Jesus makes us clean, he forgives our sins, and he makes us a child of God. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, that it is through faith, by grace. Thank you for the way that this gives us such hope of the future and the kingdom of Christ that he is bringing. One day we will enjoy forever. And Father, we pray that you'd help us to respond rightly to Jesus. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.